Welcome to Radio Nation. This is your host, Nicholas Pescod. On my show, you'll be hearing a lot of different interesting things. We'll be talking about sports, politics, entertainment. You'll hear a bit of music. You'll hear lots of interesting discussion. We'll have people interviews. I'll have two co-hosts coming in at random times. We'll have interesting discussions, anything from marijuana and why it should be legalized, to politics, to race, what's appropriate to say on the air, what's not. Some things might be a little touchy for the radio, but like, I'd like to cover these issues and I'd like to talk about it, and I feel it's important that we discuss these things even at a college radio level. Tonight I'm going to talk about personal experience, something that really touches my heart, really, really dear. It really matters to me. It's a reason why I'm here. It's a reason why I'm doing radio. It's a reason why I'm in this program. It's, you know, it's very, very dear to me. It's a person who touched me deeply, and you're going to hear a little bit about that tonight. You're going to hear a discussion on why should marijuana be legalized and in Canada, and what repercussions that might have. But before I get into that, we're going to play a bit of music for you, and the first song I'm going to start off with is Shinedown. So I hope you all like it, and I hope you continue to listen. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not afraid to die.
Welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. So you just heard some Shinedown, Michael Jackson, and Motley Crue. And now I'm going to talk to you about why, a big part of why I got into journalism, and particularly radio. When I was 11 years old, 11 years old, I met a man by the name of Greg Moore. To put it this way, he was a Canadian race car driver, and his life was cut short way too soon. Greg Moore was a professional race car driver who graduated from the kart racing series in 1996. As a driver for Players Foresight, he began to get attention very quickly in a very young racing career. In his first season alone, he placed third at Nazareth, fourth at Cleveland, and finished fourth again in Toronto. Over the next 3 years, he'd be considered a rising star in the racing world. But Greg Moore's life came to an end on October 31st, 1999, in a tragic race car accident at the Marlboro 500 in California. Just a matter of seconds, a rising star was gone forever, but the impact that he left on those around him will never be forgotten. I had the privilege of meeting Greg Moore in 1998. I was maybe 10 or 11 years old at the time. I wanted to grow up to be a pro race car driver my whole life, and that's all I ever wanted to do was race cars. I can remember as a kid watching kart series races and wanting to be just like those guys, just like Greg Moore, just like Mario Andretti, and anybody else who raced in the series. I remember idolizing Greg and other drivers. I recall the day I met Greg. I was with my dad. We were in Vancouver. We got access to go meet Greg Moore through my dad's VIP company tickets. When I finally got to meet him, it was indescribable. Here I am, 10 or 11 years old, staring at the idol of my dreams, wondering myself, you know, I'd love to be this guy, and I'd love to meet him and talk to him forever and ever. It might have been only a 5-minute meeting, but it sure felt like, you know, my entire life was like flashing before my eyes. When you're just a kid and you meet someone you've been watching your whole life, you just kind of stare in awe. You just say to yourself, holy crap, like, what's going on? You know, you're 11, you have big dreams and goals, and the person who you dream about is right there in front of you. I don't remember too much else from that day, because it all happened so fast, but I do remember him autographing a ball cap from the race and taking pictures with us. I remember him talking about the pit crew and showing us his car. I remember how much time he took and how passionate and caring he was. Even though at the time I was only 11 years old, you don't really understand that how big these guys are and how much money they make, and you don't understand that people like this don't necessarily have to give you that time, but this is a man who took his time and did it because he genuinely just loved to help to show people and to talk to people and talk to his fans. After we left, I remember being a huge Greg Moore fan from that moment on. He was instantly my favorite driver from this point forward. He was the person I wanted to grow up truly to be, just like how I wanted to conduct myself when I was older and how I wanted to act when I was older. I wanted to race cars and travel the world and do exactly what Greg Moore did. Halloween has always been my favorite day, no matter what. Ever since I was 5 years old, trick-or-treating in small town Ontario to suburban Ontario, I've always loved Halloween. I've loved the event, I've loved trick-or-treating, I've loved dressing up. I remember when the Halloween of 1999, I remember rushing home carrying 2 bags full of candy and coming home and hearing the most heartbreaking news I've ever heard in my life at this point. Greg Moore has died in a car crash. It didn't hit me at first. I really didn't know what to think. It was just one of those things where you just kind of say, oh, and you step back and you don't take it all in right away. I can remember crying and just sitting there in tears and wondering to myself, how could this happen? How could this be? How could the idol that I've always wanted to grow up to be like just be dead in a second? I saw the footage from the race that night. It wasn't pretty. It really took a lot of emotional toll on me. I remember crying for the rest of the night, and I remember crying in the morning. And from this moment on, Halloween has always been a special yet dull or dampening time in my life. Every other Halloween from this point forward has always been, in my mind, an honor to Greg Moore, an honor to his life, an honor to everything that he's ever done in the racing world. He was cut short. Everybody knows that he was a great person, a great race car driver, but sadly the story hasn't been told often enough. He was a great Canadian race car driver, and his story needs to be told, and that's why I'm here tonight to talk about it. Because the impact he had on me, whether it was just a 5-minute meeting or 10-minute meeting, was lasted a lifetime. I sit here tonight only a few days after, you know, it was the 11th anniversary of Greg Moore's death. A man who was 24, a man who was living the dream, a man from New Westminster, British Columbia, who had it all in front of him but never forgot where he came from. The impact that this has had on me, every Halloween, I dedicate about an hour of my time thinking and reflecting on how important this individual has been in my life. At every opportunity I get to reflect and tell this story, I never hesitate. When I entered in the Centennial College Journalism Program, we had to do an essay on the person who has changed your life the most and how big of an impact they had. Of course, I chose Greg Moore. There's no doubt about it. This is a man who, like I've said before, carried his life and was very, very passionate, and he was so young. For a man to be cut down like that really hurts, but it makes you just appreciate life so much more, that there are people out there in a world that's full of star athletes and money, and people kind of forget where they came from and who they are, but it's nice to realize that there are still some people out there who do care and do want to help those and treat their fans properly. And I'd just like to say thank you for hearing my story. And the next song I'm going to be playing is actually a tribute to the war veterans in Afghanistan. It's called The Highway of Heroes by Trues. It's a great song. I'd encourage you to listen to it and download it if you can get it, or buy their CD, because it is a very, very touching song. Thank you very much, and I hope you like the song.
Numbered a dozen upon my return. We're 100 or so from the coast and from the prairies. I bet they keep coming. Add one more name from Ontario and carry me home down the highway of heroes. People above, the flags flying low. Carry me softly down the highway of heroes. True patriot love, there was never. I was called by my nation without hesitation. My answer I gave. Now I'm not wondering the things that I might have been. A no consolation to the forgotten brave. So carry me home down the highway of heroes. People above with the flag. Down the highway of heroes, true patriot love.
That was The Trues and Highway of Heroes. Next, we're going to have a little discussion about marijuana and if it should be legal or not. So with me tonight, I have Josh Skinner and Connie Jean Kennedy. If y'all would like to introduce yourselves, you may do so.
Hi, I'm Connie Jean Kennedy.
And this is Josh Skinner from the original soundtrack.
Perfect. So first off, I'd like to discuss. Okay, so we're going to talk about marijuana and why it should be legal. And Connie, I believe you're for legalizing marijuana.
I am for legalizing marijuana.
Josh is against legalizing marijuana. All right, so we got a nice discussion brewing.
Conservative here.
Perfect. I'm going to play devil's advocate for this. I, in my own personal opinion, think it should be legalized, though I would like to say it should be legalized on a province base and not on a national base, because I can understand why certain provinces wouldn't want it, but those who and those that live in that in the province should have the decision or the ability to vote and say, I would like marijuana in my province. So I guess, first off, Connie, why do you think it should be legalized?
Because I think it's a lot less harmful than other things that are legal. I think it's a lot less harmful than alcohol because, well, hey, you could be your first time drinking alcohol, you could kill yourself by alcohol poisoning, or you could be stupid enough to get behind a wheel of a car and go and kill yourself and a family of four or six or however many other people are involved in this accident. With marijuana, yeah, obviously don't get behind a wheel and drive because that's also stupid, but like if you smoke too much, you'll just either pass out or just have a bad trip. Like there's no way you can kill yourself.
Right.
I don't see, like, yeah, put an age limit on it. I see you put an age limit on it, but don't, it shouldn't be legal.
Right.
Illegal,
okay. So if they were to come up with a law that said, okay, we're going to have a vote across the across each province, a separate vote that said the marijuana would you be in favor of marijuana being legal over the age of 18 years old, possession varying between the certain amount of weight. Obviously, I mean, I don't think they're, you know, you need to encourage grow-ups. I mean, they're cracking down enough on that already. But, you know, we're talking more than the decriminalized amount that we have here. So I believe it's about a gram that you can have less than a gram on you and you're okay.
You can have, if you have a gram, they take it away from you. But even if you have less than a gram, they'll take it away from you. But I mean, even that is.
It's not a criminal fine.
No, it's not. They just take it away from you. They can't really do much else.
No, exactly. And so, I mean, maybe if they increase that amount to, you know, a little more substantial amount and, you know, we said this is the rules and, you know, we'll distribute it safely. I know California, they talked about doing it.
They did talk about it, but it was 30% for and the rest were just like, screw that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, would a vote be possible in Canada on a provincial basis? And who would vote in favor of it?
There's nothing saying that there isn't a vote possible. It's just when is it going to happen? I mean, who's going to call for it?
One of the biggest arguments against legalizing marijuana, of course, is the fact that it's a gateway drug. And
and you can say that all you want. I disagree with that as well.
Right. But I'd like to hear from Josh why he thinks it should be still legal today.
Well, I mean, when you really look at where marijuana comes from, it's a lot of the reason why governments today don't really want to legalize it, especially North America, is the history behind it and where it's actually coming from. It comes from a lot of, as you could call it, third world country, so to speak, and it's really, really bad how they get it there. It's violent, and it really keeps down their communities where it is. So a lot of governments in North America are seeing it as something as, you know, we can't bring this over here because it's basically advocating for the drug cartels in other countries around the world. Therefore, we'd basically be aiding, I guess you could call, the terrorists of those communities, mm-hmm. which would be wrong.
Yeah.
Ultimately, for me, if it would be illegal in Canada, if you ignore that fact, my main advocacy is that I guess some people just don't really want to see it. Like, if it was the whole medicinal fiasco of people running into hospitals, making up some disease saying
right.
get marijuana, they don't want to see that mm-hmm. happening in their communities, as we can see in certain communities, for example, they have large cities with like limited amount of hospitals. They don't want a lot of people running in just for marijuana because it would make
right.
an already poor system worse.
And I can see the argument on that side of it because marijuana can lead to types of anxiety. It can do, you know, there's a lot of research that's been done about it, but we don't know everything about marijuana. There's still varying reports on, oh, is it good? You know, can it cause damage to the lungs? You know, what is all that smoke doing? All the stuff in it. And I guess you have to take a look at what the Netherlands have done, and in particular in Amsterdam, and say to yourself, okay, well, here's a country that in Amsterdam where it's perfectly legal. You never hear much complaint from them for, I guess, a good reason, because I think it's kind of in the Dutch culture or in that area, and I think it's one of those things where it's, if it's in your culture, it's, you're responsible with it. Like I would have to say most people that live in Amsterdam don't smoke a huge bowl and go to work. You know, I think there's, you know, employers are going to say, hey, enough's enough. All right, what you do in your free time is your free time. You know, if you have a job that's construction or you're driving, you shouldn't be smoking pot while you're doing those two things. Or, you know, specific jobs will have outline criteria of, you know, why you shouldn't be able to do it. And that's, to me, that's okay. You know, it's like the same thing as drinking in Germany. Drinking in Germany used to not even be a law. You know, you could drink at any age in Germany for years, and then they made it 16 for beer because they figured that if kids are going to do it anyway, why don't we just legalize it but let them not drive a car till much older? And you, drinking and driving, though I don't have figures in front of me, drinking and driving in Germany is probably a lot lower because people are more responsible, because at an earlier age, you learn to be responsible with what you're doing. For most people, obviously there are people out there who are going to abuse alcohol. You know, you hear it quite often here in Ontario. You know, if we lower the alcohol age, oh, people are going to get drunk. That's because it's a new thing. You know, it's like if we increase the speed limit by 10 kilometers, everybody's going to speed by 20 over it because, hey, it's, I can go 110 on the highway now, so they can't pull me over. I'm doing 130, right? Mm-hmm. So I can see where argument, where people are disagreeing and agree with it. But I guess, what do you have to say to it being a gateway drug? Like, do you really, really believe that it isn't a gateway drug?
I do believe that it's not a gateway drug. And my reason for this is there are a lot of stupid people out there who want the bigger high, so they will go searching for other things, yes, but that is not necessarily the fact that marijuana pushed them to do that.
Right.
There's also a lot of people who, like me, strictly believe, like, I'm not going to shoot up with heroin because, like, I just don't want that feeling of loss of control. Plus, there's so much more dangers in, you could OD and kill yourself on your first try with those other drugs. Right. I would rather have like straight clean marijuana and get like a small high instead of a huge high.
Right. I guess then we have to go back to Josh here and say, do you think that marijuana is such a gateway drug that it does make a difference that in people's decision ability to say, you know what, I've smoked enough marijuana, let's go on ecstasy. Let's see what ecstasy does. Do you think that might play a part, that marijuana plays a part in others doing other drugs?
Well, you know, I could outright say yes, but I'm not going to, because the truth is it depends per person. Like, you really can't, you can do studies and generalize per population or group of people. But in the end, it's a personal thing. Like, you can, the same person from the same group could not, if used as a gateway drug, they could just use it as their own. But this, another person from the exact same group, that would be their great gateway drug to it. I think the more issue behind the whole gateway drug thing, which they're bringing up, is how it affects the neurotransmitters in the mind. And what they've been saying is that when you smoke up, you've essentially, when you start smoking marijuana, essentially what they're saying is that you stop emotional growth at that age. Like, say you started at 16, you're basically emotionally set at 16 for the rest of your life. That's what they're saying, and what they're saying is a gateway drug. And for that purpose, they would say it's a gateway drug so that you would you start moving on to the higher, well, I guess, higher order drugs in that form to, like, regain your high when you lose it. But again, like I said, it's per person, really. You can't really do a general statement for that.
Right, and I know in examples, I mean, this is a radio show, but I mean, personally, like, I've done marijuana here, I'm not going to lie, but do I do it to get high all the time? No, I don't. It's, to some people, it's like having a beer after work. It's something to relax to, and I see that argument totally as to why they should legalize. I don't think it should be legalized on a national level. I can see the argument that, oh, you know, we're legalizing marijuana, now we're going to have more gang violence because now we're going to be able to move marijuana legally and, you know, turf war. And I've read all kinds of discussions about that, and I don't think it really would. I think what might happen is you might see more marijuana being moved down to the States because now it's legal in Canada, and it would be counterclockwise to the problem we have with guns in this country. They would now have a growing problem with marijuana because it's legal here. You know, we can go smoke it here. We can in theory, walk around the street and smoke up as much as we want, and it would be totally legal, but then the availability becomes greater. And even though we're a country of 34 million people, roughly, and if they were to legalize in Ontario, that's a population of 13 million people, well, now the access is greater, and you have a state like New York who's got roughly 24 million people down south. You know, the access for them is pretty easy. It's not that hard to, you know, really drive up here and get marijuana. Now, I have no idea how you would smuggle it down, nor am I ever going to find out. But, but, I mean, it's just saying, like, you know, we complain about America's gun laws and how lax they are and how, you know, I can go to an airport and, you know, it's very, very loose down there. You know, just put your guns in this bag and, you know, it's very, very, like, whatever, you know. Like, I remember going to a movie theater in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and it was just like, do you have a firearm on you? No, well, if you do, put it off to the side. I mean, that's just not our culture, you know. But to them, America, the Americans, guns is in their culture. And I find that in a small way, marijuana is kind of in our culture, but in a very limited manner as in youth. Would anybody here, do you agree with that, Connie?
Do
you?
Yeah, I do. I believe that it is part of our culture as well. Like, because it's the same thing with Americans. Like, guns are in their culture. It's just what they do, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was going to say something else about the being legalized, and I am sort of also in agreement with Josh on this one, because I guess if you legalize it entirely, there's bigger chances for people to cut marijuana with other drugs, and therefore they can sell it, and then that's how I believe it can become a gateway drug.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll agree with that.
Yeah, it's true.
However, I believe if you're going to put laws on it to make it legal, make it so that you can grow your own plants for your own, like, ability.
Right.
But, like, you can't sell it to people. It's like going to the liquor store. It's not like you're going to take this alcohol, put your drugs or whatever in it, and then sell it to children.
Right. What if they were to say, okay, you know what? We'll legalize marijuana on the condition that you can smoke it and it is totally legal, but you cannot buy it. So it'd be like, it's like cigarettes, right? At a certain age, you can buy cigarettes at 19. I think it's pretty sure it's 19 in Ontario. And then you can go and, you know, but there's no law of smoking. A 5-year-old can smoke a cigarette in front of a cop, and a cop has no jurisdiction or authority to arrest that individual. Only time they can arrest somebody is if somebody buys it underage and the seller is caught, or you buy it for someone else who is of underage.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be applicable in this situation?
I would think so.
What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I guess, well, I don't know. It really goes back to the fact that the whole issue with people legalizing marijuana is that they don't want to pay for it. Like, the general public, they don't want to pay for
it. Right.
They don't want to pay for it. So if it comes to the fact where people are able to get it and not, like, if they can have access to it, but they can't legally buy it, right?
Right.
Then I think, yeah, that could work.
What California was trying to do, which I see where they're coming from. They needed tax money and they needed it bad.
That's what I was going to say. I think if we were to start legalizing marijuana as well, that it would be hugely taxed from the government.
And that would
kind of hard to do as well, though.
But you know what? In a way, but maybe it's not. You know, you have to look at British Columbia, and they, you know, in downtown Vancouver, east side is horrendous. You know, there's people who do drugs all the time on the street there, and it's they compare it to, you know, the worst, one of the worst parts of LA is, and how disgusting and rough it is. And it is a pretty big shock. If you go downtown, you can turn the corner and boom, here's poverty right in front of your face. But they have legalized, they have sites that are safe injection sites for people who are, you know, doing crack cocaine. And
in Vancouver?
Yeah, they have legal, it's perfectly legal. They don't provide the drug, but what they're saying is, we'll give you the materials to do it safely because we don't want the spread of HIV to go through the needles, right? Mm-hmm. We would rather you use safe needles so you don't put a strain on the public health system. Because I guess in what they see it is as, it's a cost-effective measure. It's saying, okay, we just prevent people from coming into the hospital with these kind of, you know, diseases and spreading it. We'll save ourselves the money in the long term. And what if they were to do something similar to that with marijuana? What if they say, we'll provide you the marijuana at a cost that is, it's guaranteed, it will be probably more expensive than if you were to grow it. But you know what you're getting. You're getting something that's clean and, you know, maybe it isn't the best stuff, but at least you know where it's coming from. And then that eliminates the concern that says, okay, well, I don't know where this, you know, I don't know. It could be laced. It could have hash in it. You know, who knows? I don't know if anybody here would be for that idea. I don't know if it would work. But what if it was a possibility? You know, would people go for it?
I disagree with the Vancouver's idea about having a safe injection site almost entirely. I think that instead of spending your money on a safe injection site and all the clean needles, why not spend the money to put these people into rehab to wean them off of these drugs?
And that's a good argument. I don't know. I think they're trying. The problem is just, I've been downtown Eastside in Vancouver, and the problem is so bad that it's almost uncontrollable. It's a situation that I think it was a new idea. It was very innovative. I don't have a problem with it as long as they're trying to rehab these individuals at the same time. As long as if you go to one of these sites and you're going to get it, you're going to get that stuff, that they also hand you out a pamphlet that says, here is the way to come. Here is the information for you to go and get help. If the help is available at these sites too, instead of them just going there, here you'll have a nice and going off and getting high. They'll give you the stuff, but they say, you know, this is also a place to rehab yourself.
Just true. Yeah. But even with that, it's kind of hard because it's more of the fact that you can have the help available, but if they don't want it, they're not going to take it.
No, like, if they want the drug, they'll do the drug.
Yeah,
they'll
do it anyway, so it wouldn't really matter. Like, that's the problem with rehab.
That's what I disagree. Like, they can say, oh, here's the paper for rehab all they want, but the people, are they really going to say, oh, yeah, today I really want to quit heroin or whatever? No, they're going to say, oh, cool, clean needle that I can use.
Right, and here on Radio Nation, we're just talking about legalizing marijuana, and so I guess my next point will be they've recently made it a law in Ontario that if you're caught driving stoned, it is the same offense as a DUI.
And so it should be.
And I don't have a problem with that. I didn't know that law, but until recently, but I think, you know, if you're gonna take those measures. Then, I mean, if you're going to legalize it, at least there's measures in place to say, you know what, this is, because it is a dangerous thing to do. And I can see the argument for being against marijuana because, you know what, now all of a sudden, you know, I see the argument perfectly that all, you know, teenagers are going to be smoking lots of pot. They're going to come to school stoned. They're not going to do any schoolwork. They're going to be out smoking marijuana all day. That it does have a decreased productivity in the classroom and in the working environment. And I can see where the argument comes from against it, you know. I can say, you know, I remember going to high school, and what's the main issue in civics class? Well, it was, should we legalize marijuana? And that's all everybody seemed to care about. Because at that age, you know, that's, I don't know why you're taking civics at 16 anyway. You're not going to vote for another 2 years, but that's not the point here. The point here is, you know, at that age, you know, that's really all you care about is drinking and smoking and having parties. You're not, you know, you're not in a mature state to say, oh, well, you know what? Marijuana is just—it's something to do. It can be a social thing. It's a relaxing thing. You're not in that state at that age, and I can see why even at 18 people would be against legalizing it in general, because, you know, there are some pretty stupid 24-year-olds out there. There's a lot of stupid people out there, obviously. And you know what? I can go and get high, but what if I go drink at the same time? Now my mental state has been impaired even more because now drinking is legal, but if smoking marijuana is legal too, you know, what might that have on society? What are we saying to our future children that, you know, we're going to tolerate this ruthlessness behavior? Is that acceptable? Is that something we want? Is that a path we want to go down? Because now you're getting down a slippery slope, because in 20 years, the next biggest thing might be ecstasy. You know, ecstasy might be looked at as one of those things that say, and I'm just throwing a drug out there. I don't really think it will be, but I mean, it is, you know, it's popular among club goers, obviously, but
very much so.
But you know, who knows, you know, it could be hash, you know, we need to legalize hash now. And I think if you're the Canadian government or provincial government,
hash is created from marijuana. It's basically the exact same thing.
But then there you go, you know, so then, oh, well, now you get the argument going that if we legalize marijuana, do we need to legalize hash?
And but it's the same thing.
It goes for other drugs too. Like, it's, you said the president, like precedent, I mean, it's like if you, like in law, if you you have a criminal who did something and you set them free based on what they did, you kind of set a precedent saying, other criminals saying, well, why are they got it free? Why can't I do this?
It's exactly.
Kind of like a slippery slope they're going to get themselves on if they legalize it. Because you get, like, legalize marijuana, it's like, well, why can't we legalize ecstasy? And then you keep going down that slope.
Yeah. It's a whole different world.
It's a different world, different, like, area.
Because
it's
chemical now.
Yeah.
But then 20 years from now, who knows what, you know, might be the popular thing. Marijuana is probably always going to be popular among youth, no matter what happens in society.
It doesn't matter how popular it is, Nick.
No.
It matters to what extent it can harm you.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm just saying, I'm just putting an example out there. I don't really know, nor do I believe ecstasy is going to be the biggest thing in 20 years, because I really don't. You know, it's a pretty dangerous drug. And, you know, if they were to legalize it, it would kind of signal the demise of society in a sort of way of saying, like, we have no sort of moral value to our future children, because not only does, obviously, we all know the dangers of ecstasy and what it can do to your spinal fluid, it drains spinal fluid, it can kill you the first time you use it. So, I mean, I'm just throwing a drug out there. I mean, marijuana, this issue has gone on for years. People have said, you know, why isn't it legalized? You know, it's a social thing. Like, I just want, you know, the whole youth going. And I'm surprised that they didn't legalize it then, because there was such a force of our parents that, you know, there was so many of them that I'm surprised it wasn't legalized. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe in all this, that is a good thing. It's saying that, you know what, even though a lot of people wanted to legalize it in the 60s and 70s, we stuck with our values because we believe that, you know what, it could get out of control. And marijuana, they say marijuana 10, 20, 30 years ago had less THC, I believe it is, the chemical. Mm-hmm. The chemical was a lot less than it is today, where it's a lot more potent, it's a lot stronger. So, you know, who knows what the effects are. The studies are done from marijuana users from previous generations. You know, we don't know what the effects of what we're smoking can really be. I mean, sure, the short-term effects are, you know, you feel fuzzy and you're high and you're having a good time and you're laughing, you're eating lots of food 20, 40 minutes later. But, you know, I don't know what the long-term effect of it is. I think it's like taking a pill. You don't know what the long-term effect of it is until you find out 20 years from now if you're still taking it. So I guess I want to hear your last words, Connie. I guess I want to know how you feel about the issue, if you still feel like...
Well, I mean, I was paying attention to how you were talking about what happens if they do legalize marijuana and then kids are going to school stoned all the time. Right. It would be like if a kid was to drink a bottle of wine and then go to school.
Right.
Not the exact same, but I mean, through high school, I saw a bunch of kids go to school drunk.
Right.
And it's basically the same thing. Like, if you go to school drunk, you get kicked out. If you go to school high, same thing happens.
Right.
Not now, but if it was to be legalized, like if your teacher comes up to you and you're giggling like a fool, like, and they ask you if you're stoned, and if you respond with yes, then they'll kick you out. Like, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't want a student in my class stoned. It's like, I don't waste my time. Don't come here.
And that's the, you know what? And that's a big point for people who argue against it, because I think the biggest issue is in all this is, if we were to legalize it today, how would see a society take it? What, like, would the usage skyrocket to the point where it's uncontrollable, where it's not, it's in our culture, it's something we do, but it isn't a legal thing. It is a decriminalized thing, but it isn't legal. If we were to legalize it, would people go all out? Would you find, obviously you're going to have stoners out there no matter what happens. They're always going to do it, whether it's legal or not. But are you going to find that the people who are kind of borderline, who don't do it, going to say, oh, it's legal now, so I can go do it, you know? And that's where I think a big issue comes in. One of the biggest issues is you're going to have people who don't necessarily do drugs start to use drugs. And it has different effects on different people. As you know, it has a similar effect on a broad scale. But, you know, there's marijuana out there that can cause anxiety. If you're anxious and you smoke marijuana, you're going to be even more anxious coming out of it, and it's not a fun place to be. And some people, you know, I think I personally think it should be legalized, but I think they have to be extremely careful with how they're going to do it. I think it needs to be done in a manner that is a vote, for starters. I don't think they should come down and just say, we're legalizing marijuana today, have a nice day.
Well, I mean, they could put, it depends on what the legal limits are. I mean,
right.
You, like I said, like, yes, legalize it, but have it so if you choose to do it, you can go and buy it from head shops downtown.
Right.
But only the seeds, and you can grow it yourself.
Okay.
So, but you can only have a certain amount of plants.
So you'd have to...
So you wouldn't be able to have a grow up. No, I'm not saying grow ups. Grow up's bad. But, I mean, that way you would know exactly where it's coming from. You wouldn't run the risks of having it sprayed with Lysol or whatever the hell they spray it with.
Right.
You wouldn't run the risk of it having been cut with cocaine or anything like that. You would know that it's clean and that you wouldn't be in any danger.
All right, Josh. So let me put this hypothetical idea forward and see if you agree with it or if you totally disagree. Let's say we go with Connie's thing where they say, okay, you can grow marijuana and it can be, you know, like you can grow it, you can get the seeds. But what if they made it so that if Ontario were to say, we're going to legalize marijuana, we're going to have authorized Ontario-approved dealerships, kind of like dealerships, you know, like the THC Club downtown or, you know, the Friendly Stranger. And those are the only places that are authorized to sell the seeds or sell marijuana. They've been inspected by the Ministry, by, you know, Health Canada, the Ministry of Ontario, and they're notified as a clean. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I have no idea if it would ever work, but I'm just throwing that idea out there that if there was a government regulation in place that made sure these places were safe and that they weren't selling to people underage, and that would be probably the biggest thing, would you go for that idea, or would you say no? You know, our society, you know, how do you know the people buying the seeds aren't going to grow it and then give it to people who are underage? And there you go. Now you're running a risk of a slippery slope again, because are you really, you're not really changing anything if you legalize it, because people are doing it anyway, right? So I guess I just want to hear what you think about that.
Well, I guess it's kind of like with alcohol as well. You can regulate all you want, but it's not going to really change anything. So, I mean, like, if you can regulate marijuana all you want, it's still not going to really change anything, even if they have, like, the clean grow ops or anything. After a while, people are going to be like, okay, well, the government's version isn't as potent as they want it to be or whatever, so they're going to start going back to the streets anyway. So you just, again, you can see it as, you wasted taxpayer dollars on this. That's what a lot of people are going to see it as.
Yeah. No, and you know what? That's funny, because that argument works both ways. You can say, oh, well, people are already doing it, so why don't we just legalize it anyway? What's the big deal? You know, if people are doing it anyway, people are going to do it whether it's legal or not. People are going to drink and drive, you know, and that's it's kind of a bad example, but people are going to drink and drive whether it's legal or not, because people do it anyway. People do it anyway, whether they want to or not. People do it by accident. Some people do it by choice. They full out know they're getting in a car and they're intoxicated and they're going to take the risk that they're going to, you know what, oh, it's a 20-minute drive home. No big deal. It's just down the freeway. It's the same thing as smoking marijuana. You know, like, it's legal. If it's illegal, well, you know what? I can do it anyway because, you know, I'm not going to get caught or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it can, that argument works both ways, you know?
Oh, it does, yeah.
Sure.
You get it in high school. You know, you get it in high school all the time. Well, why don't they just legalize it anyway? You know, it's already, people just do it anyway. But no, you know what? I can see why they don't legalize it.
Yeah, there's
more
to it than just that, right?
Exactly. It's a deeper issue than just saying, oh, well, people already do it. Because that's like me saying people already do cocaine, so let's just legalize cocaine, right? Yeah. Let's take our money and rolling it up and doing a few lines just for kicks, right? But, you know, let's not, you know, people do lots of stupid stuff. People do lots of legalizing. Like, it's killing, you know, oh, well, let's go. People kill people, so why don't we just make it a legal thing to do? That's, you know, like, yeah. You can't really say murder is a correct thing to do, because obviously murder is wrong, and no matter what situation it really is. I mean, we don't need to get into that tonight, but I think it's a this is a subject that you just, you know, obviously there's two sides to it, so it makes for a good discussion, but I think, you know, me personally, I believe that it should be legalized, but it would have to be drawn out so finely that it almost makes it me feel like, is it really worth even going through the trouble of legalizing it? Just if people are going to do it illegally, you know, maybe decriminalized is the way to go. Maybe decriminalized is the way.
Maybe. Because I can see that. But then how can they keep under control the other things like grow ops?
And that's a good issue. That's a good, because you know what? If you legalize it, will more grow ops happen? And that's a huge.
It could be. Yeah.
But you don't know that. I mean, if it's legalized, do you think people would still have the need for grow ops?
That's a good point too. And the other thing is, I'm not sure if there would be. You know, because if there's government regulated places, you know, and there's government, if they regulate, let's say they say to take the Friendly Stranger on Queen, and they say, you know what, you're a great place, you're a great store, you're clean, you know, we've seen what you sell, we've talked to your employees, we've talked to your owner, you know, we will grant you authority to sell marijuana, like to sell the seeds, and maybe they pick the type of marijuana that it is. Maybe the government says you can only sell the seeds from these type of marijuana plants, because obviously there's a bunch of them, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what, this one's too potent, it's too dangerous, it's too whatever, you know, I don't know that much about it, but maybe they say, this is the list you can pick from it, sell it, price it, they give you a guy, I don't know, how would they really know, but, you know, they set the price. And would that cut out the dealership? Would that cut out the middleman in all this, which is the middlemen are the people who generally taint it anyway. They buy from somebody, they chop it up, and they put their own stuff in it, and then, you know, somebody else buys, little Timmy goes and buys it, and $20 too much, and he gets really baked and comes home, and mom screams at him. You know, is it going to eliminate that portion of it?
I think that part, if it were to be legalized, should be, I guess, one of the parts that isn't allowed. Like, I don't think that if it is legalized, I don't think people should be able to sell it. I mean, if you can have your own, what's the point in selling it?
Well, some people just, you know,
unless your parents or whatever, unless you live with your parents and you're like 16 or whatever, however old they decide if they would decide what the age would be, if your parents say no, you can't have a plant. I mean, would it? I don't know exactly how this would work, but if you were to go over to a friend's house, would you be able to smoke theirs, or would it have to be strictly yours?
You know, and how would you be able to really determine?
Like, and you wouldn't be able to, which is another thing. But I mean, just don't sell it, because that way you decrease the chances of having it cut with anything else.
Yeah, and I get that. But here's a situation. Hypothetically, let's just say I smoke pot casually. Like, I don't want to grow it. I don't have the time to grow it. I'm on the go all the time. I have a job. I have a life. I'm constantly traveling. You know, I don't have time to watch a plant. I can barely look after my own pets. Let's just say, you know, I'm traveling and I just want to buy some marijuana. I just want to buy it. Would it be acceptable that these places would also sell marijuana that's ready to go? These places that we were to say were acceptable.
Like a fast food joint?
Yeah, you know, it'd be like McDonald's, you know, like McStoners or something like that.
I could see that, yeah, because if it was still legalized, but or I guess given a license by the same people who gave, like, the friendly stranger a license, mm-hmm. I could see that, then yes.
Because that might be the only way it would make sense in this whole situation, is if you were to say, you know what, if you're going to be able to sell the seeds, you got to be able to sell it ready to go. Because there are some people out there who just, they don't want to grow the plant, right? They don't want it. That's a whole, like, I don't know how to grow plants anyway, you know, just water it, right? But there's a lot of things that go involved with growing marijuana plants. Obviously from grow ops, but I mean, you know, like, maybe they say, here's some ready to go, and you know it's going to be clean, you know it's going to be quality or decent stuff, you know, maybe it's a little overpriced, but is the price worth the pay for getting stuff that isn't chopped up and got, okay, is tainted?
But either way, like, with that, I remember I was watching, I think, Chris Rock talking about it. And, I'm not going to be satirical with this, but, like, he was saying that if they made the good stuff here, then it would be in every corner. I think the issue is that if they were to legalize anything, it would have to be made in-house. It would have to be made in Canada to legalize it. They couldn't import it out from any other country.
And that makes 100% sense. I agree
with
that.
But the problem is that I don't think the general population would accept the in-house stuff over the imported stuff, because a lot of people are saying that it's not the same quality. Like, it's better from other countries than what it would be here in Canada.
And even on a regional basis, they say it's better out west than it is ever here. And
so, like, they'd have to make it, like, it's where would they do it? And, like,
it might be added in one of the parts of the law that maybe they could get some stuff that's imported and they can have different sections of which types you would like, I guess.
Brand
I don't
names.
Even know. Yeah. Brand names. This is from Amsterdam. Yeah. I don't even know.
You get Pfizer involved here and they start making marijuana as a part of a pharmaceutical thing. But no, I think if you were to go down that path and you're to say only an in-house in Canada, I think you're going to end up getting
like the drug lords anyway.
I think what you're going to do is you're going to make the problem even worse. I think
because
you're going to have people saying, you know what, there are going to be somebody out there who says, you know what, there's a market for out there, and people are willing to pay triple as much in a suburban area for stuff that is illegal. It's totally illegal in Canada to get. And if we can get it into Canada, which evidently isn't that hard to get marijuana in Canada. I mean, sure, you can grow it here, but you can get all kinds of stuff here. So, you know, it wouldn't be that hard. I mean, I don't know how it would be done, but, you know, if somebody were able to get it here, you could sell it for double the amount and people would pay it. Because why? Because it's something that people want.
Yeah.
There's a low demand. There's a high demand for it and a low supply. So people are going to pay for it. And that's the problem. You know, I live in Oakville, Ontario, and, you know, there's a hidden underground drug market in Oakville. Because what happens is you get people from Scarborough, you get people from the city, Toronto, Mississauga, you know, Hamilton, even, I guess, really. You get people that come to the suburbs of Burlington and Oakville and the more Port Credit area of Mississauga who got drugs, who are going to go to these people and say, you know what, they'll sell it double the amount because there's a market here. Because I live in an area where there's a lot of money, a lot of kids with a lot of their parents' money, and they got nothing better to do. And you know what? I would say there's an argument in that situation that says, why don't we just legalize it so our kids aren't going to buy from random people from random scary places, like not even Skyro, but you don't know where these people are from. Like, I have no idea. You know, if I bought some random dude, I have no idea what he's done. I don't know if he's a raging lunatic. You know, he could be a nice guy, but he could be a raging lunatic who wants to kill me and wants to taint my stuff and make me pay triple the amount because, you know, hey, Oakville will pay it because that's where I live. And it's funny because in Oakville, people deny that there's a problem. People deny that there's an issue that, oh, you know what, our kids are doing it, whatever. They don't realize that it's not just marijuana. It's, like, heavier stuff, too, because there's a market for it. And I guess what I'm getting at here is if you legalize marijuana, you know, would people turn to something else, alternative? Oh, because it's legal now, so what's the fun in it, right?
I could see that, yeah.
That's true, yeah.
I could see that.
Would you say, oh, you know what, marijuana's legal, you know, I'll turn to acid, or I'm not just saying a drug. I mean, I, you know, PCP, something like
people
that.
People want to rebel, you mean?
Yeah, you know, like, that's the whole thing about, you know, I remember drinking underage. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, everybody here's done it, so it's one of those things. You know, it's a fact of life, you know, but, you know, part of the thrill was, I was underage, you know.
Rebellious.
You weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Fun.
It was part of the. Then I turned 19 and I didn't go to a bar until 2 months after. I bought my first bottle of booze. The day I turned 19, I bought a case of beer. And then after that, you know, I really didn't. Like, it was like, oh, great. Okay, I can drink now. Big whoop. It was the same thing with gambling, you know. I went to high school with a bunch of people who got 649 tickets, got that stuff underage, and it was the biggest thrill for them. And then they turned 19, it was like, oh. Okay, well, some of them kept doing it. Some of them had problems with it. But a lot of them just said, you know what? Now I'm 19 or I'm 18. Big deal. Like, what's the big deal now? Like, it's offered to me. And I guess, you know what? This is a funny topic because you can say if marijuana is illegal, maybe people will stop doing it as much. You know, you have the people who are always going to do it. But if it's legal, are people really going to turn to them and say, you know what, I want to do it now, it's legal? Or are they going to say, big deal, it's legal. Like, if I wanted to do it anyway, I would have done it by now.
Yeah.
It's a funny topic. It's something to think about, for sure. Yeah.
It's something that you wouldn't find out unless it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean,
well, even then, with people who are against it, a lot of them, they don't know the facts behind it. Like, I'm not going to lie. A lot of people have never tried it whatsoever. Well, even if they haven't tried it, they don't know the facts. They're just going with it because of, you know, the roots of their countries are both, I guess you could say, biblical and fact. So they're going with that. They're going that route with it, saying that,
right,
yeah, that's why we can't legalize it.
Or
there's
what
no
they hear
real,
from other people.
Yeah, they don't form their own opinions on it.
I think it's...
Or they don't research it and all. So they're not really going on based off any real information. It's kind of like a truthiness.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the government were to ever really legalize it, they would be doing it in their best interest. They would not be doing this
for profit,
for Connie Jean Kennedy or Josh Skinner or Nicholas Pescod's, because I want to do it. You know, they don't really care. You know, they're not going to care about what I want. It's what they want in the end. You know, they're going to tax the crap out of it if they were going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to say, these are the only places you could get it. This is the only availability spots you could get it. We're going to make sure that it's priced at a ridiculous amount, but a price that people are going to pay it. I had this discussion on Facebook, and one of the funniest, it wasn't funny, it was a peculiar way to look at it, though, for someone who was agreeing that, you know, it should be legalized, is saying, like, well, alcohol does more damage in the long run anyway. You know, alcoholism leads to abuse, leads to violence, it leads to, you know, it can lead to almost instantaneous death.
Yep.
And they said, when do you ever see medicinal alcohol? Which I thought was pretty...
Yeah, no, it's true.
When do you see medicinal alcohol? Alcohol isn't used... The only way alcohol is used to treat anything is because you put it on a cut. But it's a different type of alcohol, you know.
Yeah,
you can't
completely.
You don't want to be drinking that stuff.
No.
It's to clean a wound, you know. You don't see medicinal. Oh, here's a medicinal bottle of gin. Go have fun, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Tommy, you'll feel better in the morning, you know.
No, you won't.
And,
sorry, kid.
And I guess that I never heard thought of that before, but I thought that was pretty well thought of. But at the same time, you know, does it matter really that there's no such thing as medicinal alcohol? Like, who cares, really? Like, you know, people are going to smoke. People who are smoking marijuana are going
to
do it anyway.
And they're going to continue to. And another thing on the medicinal thing, it's like if you were to, I guess, legalize Percocet and make that something that you could buy from stores.
Right.
Instead of going to a hospital if you're, like, in desperate pain and they give you ones that you can relieve yourself from the pain. I guess that's what they're thinking. Maybe it's like a natural pathway of dealing with certain things, like because they give marijuana to cancer patients. or other things. I guess they're looking at it as a natural path instead of putting a whole bunch of chemicals together and giving it to them. Not that they don't do that anyway, but it's just something different.
And you know what? I totally see all the sides of this argument. I mean, there's so much you can get into here with this. There's so much we can do. We could sit here for another hour and a half and talk about it, but it is already almost 9:30, so we're going to wrap things up now. But I overall think if it's the government's going to do it, it's going to be a vote. It's probably going to be a nationwide vote. I don't think they would mingle it down to just provinces, because I think if they were going to do that, I think the two provinces for sure that would be the first ones to legalize were Quebec and British Columbia.
Either way, they couldn't do it anyways, because if it's legal in Ontario, it's still legal in Canada. Illegal in Canada, so they can't really, really matter.
But then, you know, not to get too deep into this, because we don't have a lot of time, but it's like in the States, you know, it's legal to do certain things in America. It's legal. It's the same thing here. You know, in Alberta, the speed limit is 110. The speed limit in Ontario is 100. You know, there's provincial laws that are set out that just some laws vary.
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, with California, the issue they were running in with the legalized marijuana was also the fact that it was illegal in Washington. Like,
exactly.
It was illegal as in the country. So if they legalize it there, they'd have to get Washington to approve it, which they wouldn't. So that's the if that Ontario, the if either provinces were going to do it themselves, they'd have to get the government to do it, like Ottawa to do it, to approve it, which and, they probably wouldn't.
And yeah, and you know what? The other issue to that is if let's say Ontario legalizes it, right? I don't think they ever would, but let's say they do. That's 13 million people. That's like one quarter of the population of Canada that's now has the access to marijuana. What about Manitoba? There's 1 million people that live in Manitoba. You know, now that problem might spread over to Manitoba. If Quebec and Ontario were to do it, well, now you have the two biggest provinces legalizing this stuff.
Half the country.
You got, like, half the country here. You know, you got, there's 7 million people in Ontario, or in Quebec, and, like, 13 in Ontario. So, you know, that's, like, almost half the population. So what about the Maritimes? Now they're going, okay, here's the two biggest provinces, but the most money, you know, what about the rest of us? You know, and if BC were to do it, would it become Alberta's problem now? Because, you know, it might spill into Alberta. Now all these people who are doing marijuana, they're going to go. They go and travel and do whatever. And, you know, it's a slippery slope. Really, it's a slippery slope.
To even consider it.
I would like them to legalize it, but I think the way it is now is just fine. I don't see an issue with it. People are going to do it. People understand the risks. If you're doing it and you know it's illegal, you understand fully the risks going into it. You know, it's different because alcohol, you know the risk with alcohol, but because it's a legal thing, it's like I can go to a bar and I can have, I'm going to have one beer and 5 beers later, I'm screwed.
Or maybe they could do like with the liquor licenses that people have in bars. I mean, if you have a bar like the Hot Box Cafe downtown.
Right.
They have a license so that they don't sell it to people.
But you can smoke it.
But you can try their stuff. Like their products, their vaporizers, all that stuff. You can try that. So why don't they do something like that where if it's... Because with alcohol, what the law is, like they cut you off if they feel that you're too... That you've had too many.
Right.
Because they're responsible for you until you sober up.
Exactly. And they're responsible for you. Even if you get in the cab and the cab were to crash, it is still their fault.
They're still responsible.
Until you get home, basically.
Until you sober up, they are responsible for your life.
It's true. That's an issue. That's why my parents always, when we were younger, well, when I was younger, they'd be like, no, you can't have people over and you can't drink, because it wasn't that they cared about the drinking. It was the fact that if somebody goes home really, really wasted and falls on the sidewalk and dies, their parents are going to sue.
Yeah.
Their parents have every legal right to sue because we didn't take the full measure of responsibility to say, you know what, you've had too much, you need to just stay here. Yeah. And on top of that, it would also be underage. My parents would be... In theory, because I bought the alcohol, but I'm in my parents' house, so it would in turn lead them providing underage people with alcohol. Whether I bought the alcohol or not wouldn't make the difference. It's in somebody else's house. It's in my parents' house. So, I guess that's pretty good discussion. I think that's it for tonight. Yes, you may.
Okay, so...
I'm just going to let Josh talk about his show. He's doing a show, and then Connie, do you want to talk about the show me and you are also going to do as well?
Sure.
Just quickly. All right, I'll start off with Josh, and then we'll wrap things up, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, so before we go, I have a show coming up this Thursday, November 11th, from 6:30 to roughly 8:30, called The Original Soundtrack. I was with my co-host, Simone Lewis, also in the school.
I'll be sitting in there, definitely.
Nick's also going to be here with us, maybe Connie, if she wants to come. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about, you know, musical genres. We're going to It's going to be a great show. We're going to have comparisons between songs. We're going to have top 10 lists. We're going to have rants and open discussions about two different songs. It's going to be a really great show, guys, so you don't want to miss that. That's Thursday, November 11th at 6:30 to 8:30.
All right, Connie, you want to talk about the show me and you are going to be doing? I'm going to be co-hosting this show. We don't have a title yet.
We don't have
yet.
A title for it yet. No, it's basically just a music and music discussion radio show. I make a playlist for each week. It's on Thursdays between 2 and 3.
Yeah,
between 2 and 3. Just make a playlist before the show, and there's going to be different genres each week. One week it'll be 80s, next week whatever I decide I want to play. I have a new band that's not 100% popular yet, but I'm going to try and get them some, you know, publicity on this radio station, and maybe people will figure them out, and that'll get them to start.
I'm playing on my show, too.
Perfect. That's it for Radio Nation. Next week, we're going to talk about what is wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs right now and what is wrong with the New Jersey Devils. We're going to look at the Calgary Los Angeles Flames. Kings. We're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk some sports, and we're going to talk a little bit of entertainment, and I'm going to introduce you to a band that is just trying to get their startup in the music world. So that's it for tonight. Your host is Nicholas Pescott, and have a great night. Thanks.